they're the victims.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Heidi, look, it's been terrific having you in again, and I wish you well. I hope you earn plenty of money, well, as a group, to keep doing this, and I look forward to talking to you in another couple of months.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Heidi Pye.
The Air News is sponsored by Seacom Australia. Are you in need of a generator for prime power or backup power for your home or business? Seacom Australia can help. Seacom Australia is currently supplying power to the major mobile network providers, emergency services and paging networks, land and water authorities, all TV stations at Mount Victoria in Warburton, and Yarra Valley FM. Seacom Australia can provide generators from 5 kVA to 250 kVA. For higher sales and service, call now on 5962 4546.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Hello, I'm Nikki Elliott. Police have found a woman and a newborn baby girl who were the subject of an Amber Alert. Jess Ambler reports.
Police issued an Amber Alert yesterday afternoon saying a one-day-old baby girl may be at significant risk. There was concern an 18-year-old woman and another woman took the baby from Ipswich Hospital on Monday. But police in the hospital have since clarified that the mother discharged herself and her child soon after giving birth. Westmorton Health say it was an isolated incident and the health care provided to the mother and baby is not in question. Police were continuing to search for them this morning with concern the baby required medical care. But officers have now confirmed the woman and the baby have been found safe at Ipswich just after 11 o'clock this morning and have thanked the community for their assistance.
A war of words over the Indigenous Voice to Parliament referendum continues unabated, with those opposed to it being accused of importing Trump-style politics. Federal Government Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney says disinformation is being spread online by no campaigners and that not only are some claims untrue, their objective is to polarise voters.
And its weapon of choice is misinformation. No campaign outfit, Fair Australia, regularly posts things on social media that are clearly false and taken out of context.
The Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe should be sacked. That's the opinion of 52% of people surveyed by 9 newspapers on voter confidence in the wake of recent interest rate rises. A key finding of the survey was that 64% of respondents predicted that in real terms their wages will fall. Donald Trump was back in court today, this time in Florida, where he pleaded not guilty to 37 felony charges. It's alleged that in 2021, the former US president took classified documents from the White House and did not return them when asked to do so. Among the documents he's accused of keeping in boxes at his Mar-a-Lago estate are potential war plans, which US attorney Ben Chu says are essential to national security.
Unlike the case of former Vice President Pence and current President Biden, these documents were not returned to the U.S. government when they were requested, which distinguishes this indictment from those other two cases that have not been indicted.
Today is World Blood Donor Day. Fewer than 1 in 30 Australians regularly donates, despite an average of 1 in 3 needing a donation at some point in their lives. Sam Ryan is a blood donor recipient and says it saved his life.
When I was 17, I had quite a bad car accident, to put it lightly, and blood donation absolutely saved my life. I was given 22 units of blood and plasma in the first 8 hours. That is the reason I'm alive today.
The greatest American writer since Ernest Hemingway. That's how Al Jazeera has described Cormac McCarthy, who died today aged 89. Virtually unknown for the first 60 years of his life, McCarthy rose to prominence following his critically acclaimed novel All the Pretty Horses. That book was adapted for the screen, as was The Road, for which McCarthy won the coveted Pulitzer Prize. Checking the Aussie share market, where one Australian dollar is trading at 67.74 US cents. This is Air News.
Blues Origin coach Brad Fittler reckons Mitchell Moses' experience makes him the right choice to steer New South Wales around Suncorp Stadium in Game 2 next Wednesday. Moses beat Dally M medalist and Game 1 utility Nico Hines is to claim the number 7 jersey. Fittler says he's confident Moses can handle the pressure in the sold-out Queensland friendly at Lang Park.
The last game he played, he was great. Set up a couple of tries. He actually played with a broken back, so it'd be pretty hard to question his toughness. And I think he's just, they got to the grand final last year and he's been in a lot of big games lately.
In the AFL, Port Adelaide will name its side tonight to tackle Geelong tomorrow night at the Adelaide Oval. The Pies set to make at least one change, with defender Lockie Jones set to miss a month with a fractured jaw. Ryan Burton appears the most likely choice to replace him. Hawthorn skipper James Sicily has been handed a 3-game ban for a dangerous tackle at the AFL Tribunal. And Tiger Ryan Mansell also copped a 3-match outing for a brutal bump. English cricket captain Ben Stokes is struggling with a knee injury ahead of the opening Ashes test starting Friday, managing to bowl just 12 balls at a net session. And day 2 of Australia's swimming trials for the World Swimming Championships are underway in Melbourne. Kyle Chalmers and Molly O'Callaghan, along with Cody Simpson, are among those gunning for a place on the team. Australian Independent Radio News.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Support the Yarra Valley FM 99.1 studio relocation fundraising appeal. Visit yarravalleyfm.org.au today.
I don't care what the weatherman says. When the weatherman says it's raining, you'll never hear me complain. I'm certain of sunshine.
The weather for today and the coming week, a top today of 15 with showers. So far we haven't seen them, although it's coming over a bit dull out there, so might get them later on this afternoon. Down to 7 tonight, 13 tomorrow. Oh, what a cold day. The showers during the morning and afternoon. Friday, 16. And that's the pick of the week, I can tell you, with mostly sunny. Saturday, 15 with a late shower or two. Sunday's 13 with showers. And if you think that's bad, it gets worse. On Monday, we've got 12 degrees with showers increasing at the moment. The glorious Yarra Valley, it's 11 degrees.
You're listening to Friday on My Mind with Gemma. Every Friday from 12 till 2.
Monday morning feels so bad.
Selected tracks to keep Friday on your mind.
Wake me up. Hey, my name's Leanne Patrick, a local singer-songwriter, and you're listening to your community radio station, Yarra Valley FM, brought to you by a dedicated team of wonderful volunteers. Stay tuned.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me Con and Philip from Hutchison Legal. I should, just before we start, mention that Con has, and so has Grant, and Madeleine have been involved with Choice Tunes. So if you want to know more about Con, he wants to make sure he's a leader of the pack with the downloads, go onto our website, the three W's, yarravalleyfm.org.au. But all jokes aside, there are heaps of community connection, choice tunes that I've done there. Download them, have a listen to them, and you can hear a bit about the people. But anyway, welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, Alan. Good to be here.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. All right, we had a question from a... I must make a quick apology. I did say it wasn't raining from where I was. I couldn't see the rain, but Con tells me it's raining and I can hear it on the roof now.
It's pouring
down. It is raining here. We had a question from a listener last time about the sex offenders register. We want to know, first of all, what a judge had to look at before he put a person on the register, why some people only seem to get a few years and others are on for life. So, guys, if you can just tell us a bit about what the... And the other thing is, who can access it? Because I believe that Mr. and Mrs. Average can't, but can the police, or do they have to get a court order, or who can actually have a look at this register?
Thank you. Well, there's a few to go through there. Yeah. The register, I'll start with generally, is... what it is, it's a register of information that's kept by the police.
It's the police?
Yes, and that information is provided by the offenders, not of their own volition, obviously. They have to do so.
They won't want to do it.
Yes, so that's where the information comes from.
Right.
In terms of, there's a question as to what a judge has to consider in putting someone on the register. It depends on what offence... the person's either been found guilty or pled guilty to. So there's a specific act called the Sex Offenders Registration Act, right. And that act prescribes certain classes of offences. There's four classes, and the first two, Class 1 and Class 2, are the most serious.
And so they would be things like rape?
Yes, that's a Class 1.
Yeah.
Incest is a Class 1. Sexual activities with a child is also a Class 1, very serious.
Can understand that, yep.
Class 2 is a whole bunch of offences that normally would not be up at that level, but they are because they're with a child. So things with an adult would not be as serious, but with a child are more serious. That's mainly what your Class 2 offences are. If a person's been found guilty of one of those classes, they automatically get an obligation to report information to the register.
But Right. So, but do they automatically become on the register for life, or what?
So, there's sort of two considerations. One is on being on the register at all, and the other is your reporting obligations and how long they last. Once you're on the register, that information is basically stored for life. However, what gets a term of years is your reporting obligations. So, for a single offence of a class two category offence, you will have 8 years where you will have to report to Victoria Police, and they'll keep adding information to the register.
Right.
And those obligations are very serious. If you fail to meet those obligations, you'll get charged with a crime, and they are very onerous. You have to, any little changes in your life, email addresses, any interaction with children, a whole host of things,
right,
immediately have to report it, or you'll be charged with a further offence.
Right.
So it's not just your address and your phone number?
No, it's much more than that.
Right.
Pages and pages of stuff that they'll go through. And they have an annual meeting where they will sit down with the person on the register, the police will, and
they take them in once a year, do they?
Every year into the cells, usually at one of the police stations. They'll take more photos of them, new photos, take their measurements, look at any tattoos, any facial hair, any identifying features, take very, very, I'd say, invasive photos. Not like they have to get naked or anything like that, but it's an invasive sort of procedure. And then they'll sit down and go through all those questions. So they'll say, this is what you told us last time. Has that changed? They'll go through everything, any email addresses, and they want to know about any contact with children whatsoever. That all has to be reported and approved.
Is that only if it's the Category 2 or Category 1 as well?
That's for anybody who has reporting obligations.
Right.
So what I was going to get to is there are also Class 3 and Class 4 offences. That's much more of a broad range. It's not as specific as 1 and 2. Right. And for those ones, a judge or a magistrate has discretion to put someone on the register.
Well, so on 1 and 2, they have to go on.
They are automatically on. Their reporting obligations begin as soon as they are found guilty of the offence. The judge doesn't have to make any special order about
it.
It's automatic. But the Class 3 and 4, they can make what's called a sex offenders registration order. And that order will say that they have a certain period of years that they have to report for.
Right.
And once those obligations end, the offender can stop reporting. But in terms of the information, that will stay on the register.
Can they get it, if they want to get rid of it, can they go to court and ask for it to be taken off or not?
Generally, no. There is a very limited exception for people who committed the offending while they were aged 18 or 19. When they're younger. But even that is, there are very specific requirements, and it's not an easy hurdle to meet. And it only applies to some offences. I think some of the more really serious ones, even at that age, you still can't avoid it.
Well, that's terrific. So, but now, who has access to that?
So generally, it's just Victoria Police. They're the ones that have sort of first-hand access.
Yep.
However, they can hand out the information to basically anybody if they think there's a good reason. Now, as you said before, it's not as though any average Joe could sort of just ask and they'll get information from the register. Yep, right. Police would say no.
Yep.
Typically, the bodies that they'll be sharing information with are government bodies like the courts, number one, government agencies like the Department of Justice. But the authority and the power ultimately rests with the Chief of Police as to how to use the information.
All right, so but supposing I'm running an organisation, I don't want to use the name of any, that's involved in youth work, could I as the CEO or the president go to the police and say, I'm thinking of employing these three people? Would they tell me or would they not do that?
They wouldn't give you information on the register because that information isn't about their crimes. It's about where they live, email address, personal information. That's what the register keeps.
Yeah.
If you want information about the offences, you just have to do a police check. Same with any other criminal offence.
Right.
So if any employer can conduct a police check for employment purposes, and that will show all prior convictions, including sex offences or otherwise.
Would you assume that a working with children check would be refused for someone who's on the sex offender?
Yes, immediately, yes.
All right, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Proud station sponsor, the Home Hotel Launching Place, opens daily at noon with meals all day to evening. Serving local wine, beer and food, it's a friendly place for all tastes. Live music plays on Friday night, Sunday arvo and Monday's open mic night. There's Foxtel footy with Thursday night happy hour. Book online, call 59673 303 or just arrive by horse, bike, car, bus or on foot. Make yourself at home. The Home Hotel. You're welcome.
Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2pm, with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
When the girl in your arms is the girl in your heart, then
to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
And hello to Grant, Grant Hutchison. I'm talking to Con and Phil from Hutchison Legal. Con, you told me something I don't know. Tomorrow was Elder Abuse Awareness Day, did you say?
Yes, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day tomorrow. I suppose that's a timely reminder to make sure that our elder Australians are being looked after appropriately and not being taken advantage of.
And abuse isn't necessarily just talking about knocking them around, hitting them or anything like that, is it? It's far wider than that.
Yeah, there can be financial abuse, you know, psychological abuse, you know, causing them to live in fear, even though you might, you know, there's no actual physical violence or physical inappropriate handling. So
I heard a case, and I'm going to tell you about it because I want to see what you say, where a daughter went to a mum and dad and said, if you don't give me X amount of dollars, then I'm never going to let you see your grandchildren again. So that would definitely be abuse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a form of that psychological abuse. And if you put that together with, and give me some money, you know, it's a loan, but I'll never pay you back. But yeah, you just say, lend me this money to get me out of this temporary financial problem, But if you don't, I'll punish you, you know. I'll stick you in a care home as soon as I get the chance. Yeah. You know, I won't be there to care for you, or and no one else will. Or yeah, like you said, you won't be able to see your grandchildren. It's difficult, I suppose. You can go to the family law courts if grandparents have some limited rights, but it's
very difficult. But a grandparent's not going to do that, are they?
It's unlikely. And as I said, it's difficult, not easy, not impossible, but right. Not easy at all. So now that in our current economic environment, everyone's feeling the pressure. People want to turn to the bank of mum and dad because everyone just assumes, oh, you're older, you must have stacks of money.
Yep.
Which is not true.
Well, very often the older person has got their money, they might have money, but it's tied up in their own home. And
correct,
that.
Yes. And I've said to people, you can't eat the bricks. But
what was that?
You can't eat the bricks, right? So, and then the pressure comes on to, guarantee me this loan. You know, I will need to borrow this money to pay my tax debts. For my business, can you guarantee the loan so I can get it from a dodgy lender? All of these things come into play. And something even as innocent as, at the moment I read a news article about adult grandchildren moving in with their grandparents or a single grandparent because sharing the bills, that's a nice thing to do. Having a companion there, that's a nice thing to do. So that could be a really good experience.
But it could go bad.
But
too.
It could go bad. And again, it could turn into this financial abuse. And people, older people really should be making sure that they've got a power of attorneys in place so that they've actually nominated a person who has the power to make decisions for them, financial decisions and medical decisions. And so that person could stand up to any other bully that might come around in the family. Because you can immediately appoint an attorney to act on your behalf. But again, you need to choose wisely that person doesn't become the abuser and misuse their power.
Because I've got a question I'm going to send your way about power of attorney. So
right.
We'll hear more about that next year. All right, look, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk to Phil. We want to talk about the mobile phones.
Yes.
The pizza that will amaze you with its size and generous toppings. Go to AJ's Pizza in Chanside Park. Get two large standards for only $26. Station sponsor AJ's Pizza also has parmas, schnitzels, burgers, pastas, desserts and more. Grab takeaway at 95 Switchback Road from 4 to 9 p.m. every day. See the menu and order online or call 9739 7800 for delivery. Pizza, passion, perfection. Only with the highest quality ingredients at AJ's Pizza.
Make sure to listen to Music, Memories and More with Alan Collier every second Sunday, 12 till 3, only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 with the very best of 50s and 60s.
The time in my hustle and hurry world, laughing myself to sleep, waking up lonely. I needed someone to hold me. It's such a crazy old town, it can drag you down till you run out of dreams. So you party all night to the music and lights, but you don't know what happiness means.
I was dancing in the dark with strangers, no love around me, when suddenly you found me. Everything fine, that's what you are.
So put your hand in mine, and together we'll climb as high as the highest star.
I'm living a lifetime in every minute that we're together, and I'm staying right here forever.
Local voices, local events. Yarra Valley FM, 99.1, the voice of the valley.
You're listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Con and Phil from Hutchison Legal. Phil, you want to tell us about the new rules that have come up with the mobile phones. I'm going to ask you one question before we could, well, if you can incorporate this in your answer. Somebody told me that the law actually says it has to be in the glove box of the car. Is that true or not?
No, not in the glove box. I'll get into the details of what you can and can't do.
Yep.
Not that you can't have it in the glove box, certainly can.
No, but that's not the law.
That's not what the law says. So in terms of new, what's new in that area is not necessarily new laws, but Victoria Police have installed new cameras around the roads in Melbourne, cameras that will detect if somebody is using their phone, and if they are, they'll take a photo. It's not just phones, it's also seatbelts, if you don't have your seatbelt on or if you have it on incorrectly. And then just like a speeding fine, they'll issue you an automatic infringement in the mail. With some 4 demerit points if it's a mobile phone.
And 4 demerit
points? 4 demerit points.
That's a lot.
Pretty serious. If you're a P-plater, that's almost all the ones you can get in one go. Yep. Quite a hefty fine. I think it's in the realm of sort of $450, $500 at the moment. Could be more. It goes up pretty regularly, the fines. So that's what's new. They haven't actually... They've taken effect and they're in use, but they haven't actually started issuing fines on the back of those cameras yet.
It's pretty soon though, isn't it?
Very soon. 1st of July, people will start getting fines and demerits. Yeah. At the moment, they're using them, but they'll just send you a letter in the mail that says, we've got you on our camera. We're not issuing you a fine, but it's a warning, and keep a lookout from 1st of July.
I pulled up at a set of lights on Sunday coming up here, and two motorbike police were riding down in the middle of the cars at the set of lights, and they were looking into each car.
That's the classic way that they'll get you, because it is pretty hard usually to see if someone's using a phone, but the motorbikes, they will cruise through and they'll look right into your car and see what you're doing with your hands.
And they came up the middle, so one was looking to the left, one was looking to the right.
Yeah, a clean sweep.
Yep.
I'll talk a bit about what you actually can and can't do, because there are a lot of misconceptions around that.
It's, go for it.
It's a bit confusing and it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense when you really lay it all out. So the rules for P-platers are much more strict. Yep. Basically, the rule is you cannot use your phone at all while driving or while the car is stationary but not parked, they say.
Stationary, just let me ask, check this out with you. Stationary, I believe, is if you've pulled up and the motor's still running, is that right?
Yes, so you're not parked, so, you know, if you're at the lights, you're stationary but not parked.
What about if you pull off onto the side of the road and you leave the motor running and you take a call? Is that classified as still not parked?
That's where the law isn't as black and white. Again, the sort of going thing that I always heard when I started driving was, oh, you have to have it in park, handbrake on, and keys out. Keys must be out of the ignition. Yep. Now, the regulations don't say anything about whether or not your keys are allowed to be in the ignition. All they say is stationary but not parked. So at the end of the day, to get a real answer on that, it's up to the courts to determine. But nobody really takes this sort of thing all the way to the High Court about whether what constitutes stationary or parked. What really matters at the end of the day is what the police consider stationary.
That's
parked,
right.
Because that will determine whether or not they give you a fine and an infringement. And if you get one, even if the police might not be right in how they've interpreted the regulations, you either have to cop it or go to the expense of getting a lawyer and going to court probably multiple times, which is... As much as I love to advocate for it because it's my job, it's not something anyone wants to have to do.
Yep.
So the exception to using your mobile phone while driving applies to full license holders, not P-platers. Right. Full license holders are allowed to use their phone only for two reasons. Right. The first is to make and receive telephone calls, and the second is to operate their navigational software, GPS.
Right.
For those two reasons, you're only allowed to do it in two ways. It's very specific again. You can have it mounted in a cradle, which is affixed to the car, and then you can press buttons. You can input your address into your sat-nav and all that, but only for sat-nav or calls. You can't change the song on your phone. You can't go on Spotify, anything like that. It has to be sat-nav or calls. Or you can make and receive calls if the phone's not mounted and secured, but you can't touch it.
So if like my car, you just push a button and you can answer it.
Exactly. Yep. So the phone's in your pocket. You can, it's linked up to your Bluetooth. You can press the button in the car and answer the call. That's not going to matter that it's not mounted.
Is that the same for a P-plater?
P-platers can't do any of that. So if a P-plater technically were to answer a phone call through the Bluetooth, they would be using the phone while driving. Now, I don't know how, if it's in your pocket, I don't know how a police officer is going to know that you've just done that. But technically, they would be in breach of the law if they did that.
All right. Anything else you want to say on the...
Well, another misconception is that you can't even have the phone off, sitting, on a chair or off to the side while it's plugged in playing music. But... The way the law works, it really requires a positive action. It requires you to use the phone. That's an action. So if your phone's just sitting there, screens off, plugged in, playing some music or through Bluetooth, it can't really be argued that you're using the phone. But again, as I touched on before, it doesn't always matter what the real legal interpretation
is. Depends on what the policeman thinks.
Exactly. And I've seen police charge people. I've seen police charge P-platers for having the phone just plugged in with a cord playing music, but the screen's off, they haven't touched it, they haven't looked at it, they haven't actually operated the phone while driving, but it's just plugged in and they get charged. Now, I've managed to get those charges withdrawn, but again, the person had to go through the effort and the expense.
And the cost.
Exactly, of getting a lawyer, and it's just usually you wouldn't be able to get your cost paid in those circumstances.
All right, we'll take some break and we'll be back with more.
Linen House Hillsville is winter ready. Find everything cozy and warm with a toasty feeling while you shop. Linen House has it all for homewares, on-trend bed linen and accessories at affordable prices. Discover luxurious throws, super soft bamboo sheets, cheeky kids bedding and divine linen for your bed, bath, living and dining. As an outlet store, station sponsor Linen House gives up to 70% off. Feel for yourself at 212 Maroondah Highway, Hillsville.
I was cruising at the green with my homies.
I went to the park with my friends.
Grabbed some wicked air on the blades.
Jumped very high on my inline skates.
Had a slice of my Betty on the bench.
And sat down and ate lunch with my girlfriend.
Yeah, the green is a filthy hole to crash, dude.
Victoria's magnificent variety of parks will work wonders for your mind, body and soul. Dude. Parks Victoria. Healthy parks. Healthy people.
Oh, I come alive in the dead of the night.
Tune in to the Oz Indie Show. Brand new Australian releases, the hottest of the best, here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Don't you know I'm in a band?
The Oz Indie Show, every Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
When I first saw you, I saw love. And the first time you touched me, I felt love. And after all this time, you're still the one I love. The long way, we knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Con and Phil. Con, you want to ask a question of Phil, which is unlikely that one lawyer wants to talk to another lawyer and ask a question. But anyway, go for it, Con.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, if I go to the Vic Roads website and read what they have on there about these mobile phone laws and what you can and can't do, will I find everything I need to know on the Vic Roads webpage?
Not everything.
What's going to be missing?
Well, generally they'll give you... Not that there'll be any incorrect or false information on Vic Roads, but they'll give you a blanket statement. Like, they might just say, it is illegal for you to use your mobile phone while driving, which is not incorrect.
Yeah, but won't give you any exceptions.
All those clarifications. They might, again, they might give you some broad clarifications to the exceptions, but if you look at the actual legislation, which is much more boring than a nice, pretty Vic Roads website, it goes into a lot more detail than that. So, like, for example, what we were discussing about the stationary but not parked, they wouldn't go into that much detail. They would just say, your car has to be parked. They wouldn't go into detail about what the different terms are. So in order to really get the full picture, you really need to look at the legislation or get some legal advice about it. But I don't think everybody's going to go see a lawyer just to ask what they can do with their phone and get some formal advice about that. Really, the rule of thumb, the safest thing to do is to not use it unless it's one of those two situations where it's in a cradle and you're making a call or using SatNav to navigate.
You said picture. And, I saw a story, I think, from New South Wales, another state that has these laws or similar laws, and they have the cameras working. The picture was this blurry black and white picture, and a guy got taken to court, got charged for using his mobile phone whilst driving. And the fellow brought into court with him the thing that he actually had in his hand, which was he was trying to open up a cheese dippet pack. Now, he told the police that, but they didn't accept it. And he had to go all the way through the court process to contest and get that charge knocked out.
So it's better off not to do anything that can be misconstrued.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's the thing about these cameras. I'll be very interested to see what sort of images they're producing. And the thing is, because they're now just going to be issued as infringements like a speeding fine, I'm not sure exactly how it'll work because it hasn't started yet, but what I think will happen is you'll just get a fine in the mail. You won't actually get that photo. The only way you get that photo is if you actually contest it and take it to court. So what I would say is a lot of these photos that are produced, unless there's a human being going through with a fine-tooth comb and throwing out all the ones that are rubbish, I'd be very sceptical that all the ones that are going to come out in the mail actually have a clear photo that could support a conviction in court.
See, that's interesting because I'll often pull up at a set of lights and I go into the glove box and I pull my diary out to see who I'm interviewing today or what I'm doing tonight. So if that wasn't really clear and it showed me pulling something out, then I could be in trouble. I'd have to...
Well, you could, but if you took it to court, it'd be very embarrassing for Victoria Police. So I'd say if these cameras start going and a whole lot of cases pop up of people holding diaries or bananas or who knows what, it's not going to look very good. The courts won't be very happy dealing with a large volume of those cases. If there's a human being looking through everything and looking through with a fine-tooth comb and actually having some good quality control, it shouldn't be an issue. But I'm not sure how they're going to manage that because I have no doubt that these cameras would pick up. I mean, a phone's a pretty indiscriminate object. It's a small, dark rectangle, usually, which could be lots of different things. Mm. So I would hope that there is going to be a bit of quality control as to, you know, what photos they're issuing infringements on the back of.
I've got to take a quick break, and then I want to talk to Con, and then we've also got a question for one of you guys. Well, actually two now for you guys to take away with you.
Hi, this is Ken Watson. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Look at this face. I know the years are showing. Look at this life. I still don't know where it's going. I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Look at these eyes, they've never seen what matters. Look at these dreams, so big. So better.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
didn't lift an answer. So much I've never broken through.
And what I feel in you, sometimes I see so clearly. The only truth I've ever known.
Look at this man, so blessed with inspiration. Look at this soul, still searching for salvation. I don't know how much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Welcome. Thanks for listening.
Oh, sorry, Grant. Welcome back to Community Connections. Con, you just want to briefly talk about financial stress.
So as discussed before, with the financial pressures as well, people also need to think about whether bankruptcy is an option for them. If you have insurmountable debt, bankruptcy can be a way of being able to at least keep your income or most of your income and get yourself out of that debt mountain, because you know the interest rates are just increasing the debt levels to unsustainable amounts. So there are also alternatives to bankruptcy, like a debt agreement, a repayment plan where you can significantly reduce your cash flow burden. So
and don't ignore it, because it's never going to go away.
Don't put your head in the sand, that's right, and don't sort of favour one creditor over another creditor, because that can be all undone later as well. So,
if you go bankrupt, like it doesn't mean that you're in bankruptcy for the rest of your life, you can never buy anything, is it?
No, that's right. So it'll go on your credit report. I believe it's for 5 or 7 years. There's a permanent record, but if you recover financially, it's usually only 3 years of bankruptcy. Right. There are proposals to make it 1 year, but that hasn't happened yet. Okay. But if you then recover, if you have an income and show a capacity to repay, in the future, you'll be able to convince other lenders to lend to you, even though you've been bankrupt in the past. You just need to be able to explain what led to it.
And banks are never going to stop chasing you or any financial institution, are they?
Yeah, usually not. That's right. They'll keep going. And people also have tax debts as well, and the tax office are increasing their activity.
he's never going to go away, the
that's
tax man.
Right. Particularly small businesses now are suffering, and I think there's some landlords on the hunt for their money that they had to delay getting paid for during the COVID changes. So,
all right. So we're going to give you a send away with a couple of questions. One of them you'd already touched on, and that's a power of attorney. We want to know, who can you appoint as a power of attorney? Can you appoint, if you went to a solicitor, and this is where it's going to get a bit murky, if you went to a solicitor and had a solicitor write your will, can you give them your power of attorney, both medical and financial? having them write your will. The other thing is to if you give someone a power of attorney today and you're 40, is that power of attorney still around in 60? You know, when the person's 60. And the other thing is to Con gives me his power of attorney. When Con pushes off this life, they come to me and I've already gone. So what happens then? Because you haven't got a power of attorney as such. So first of all, we want to know those. Who can you appoint? Can you appoint your solicitor if they've written the will? Because to me, it would look as though you've got a conflict of interest. And the third thing is, what would happen if you've appointed a power of attorney and they've pushed off this earth before you do? So that's to do with the power of attorneys. We also want to talk to you about COVID-19 fines. Now, they've issued thousands and thousands of them, millions of dollars
worth. I think it was $55,000.
Oh, something like that. It's a huge amount of money, but a lot of people aren't paying. There's only about 15%. Now, obviously, and I know people have been saying, we'll put them through the courts. You touched on the point a little while ago, Con, about the courts won't want to know some of this little stuff because they're already 2 and 3 years behind. So if all of a sudden they've got to chase 50,000 fines, they're not going to do it. So what's eventually and I know I can't ask you what what the magistrates will do, but just to get a bit of an idea, are they going to strike a deal and say everybody pays a $100 fine and then they don't bother paying that anyway? Because I can't see 50,000 cases going before the magistrates' court.
Yep, well, our esteemed colleagues next month will be answering those questions.
You don't want to know about that.
and we won't.
you don't want to know about
that. I could answer some of those questions. Yeah.
We'll leave it for our learned friends.
That's fine. And certainly the power of attorney. I know somebody that wants to actually appoint, or the person who we spoke to wants to appoint their attorney. Now, that's all right, but I'd be a bit frightened that it could get contested, because some of these power of attorneys will be contested, and if the solicitor has written a will and put themselves in as the power of attorney, surely that's a conflict of interest. Sometimes they want to say.
Could be, might not be.
Depends on the circumstances.
There's a lot of if this and if that.
Hopefully we'll have someone from our large wills and estates department next month.
Our elder care legal talk about team, that. They know all about this.
You've got an elder care team.
We have an elder care legal team, wills and estates team. Yes, they look after all of these kinds of issues.
I think Madeleine's in the wills, isn't she?
Yes, that's and, right. Jason as well. He's a accredited specialist in
is he?
So
we'd like to know that, because that was a question we had about who can you appoint, and also the issue about the solicitor being doubled, because that seems to me a bit of a conflict. And the third one is, you know, some people out there have probably got wills they've made 20, 30 years ago. Some people don't update them. They've got a power of attorney. And I guess the other thing is, what if they can't find the power of attorney? Like, if the person may not be dead, but they could have moved overseas, they could have got anywhere.
Mm. Yep, all of these issues are good questions, live issues. But I'll just ask maybe the lawyer in a small country town is the most trustworthy person around.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But then there's plenty of jokes going around about the local solicitor too, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them in my Rotary Club and we give them terrible time.
Well, all I can say is people make lots of jokes about lawyers until you need one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a bit
Then you're very thankful.
Yeah, well, it's a bit the same as a lot of groups, don't they? They pick unmercifully on some people. And some of these people will stand out on the footpath and slag off at the police and do a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, the moment they need one, they'll be on Triple O and they'll be saying, well, why didn't you get here quicker?
Yes.
It's funny because when you're studying law and you tell people that, everyone says, oh, good on you, good job, you're doing a really good degree. And then when you actually become a lawyer, you just become the worst person in the world. Oh, what? You're a lawyer? Why would you do that?
I never thought of that. Look, guys, thanks very much for coming. This will be your last time down here at Wurrialik. We should just tell the listeners that we'll be going off air at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. We'll be back on air on Monday morning sometime, and we'll have moved to Hillsville. So you'll have a nice picturesque drive out to Hillsville next time.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
Guys, thank you again for your time, and you'll be back on, what are we talking, June, July. Be over half past the shortest day and into the second half of the year.
Looking out for those mobile phone cameras after the 1st of July.
I'm just looking forward to more sunshine.
You and me both. Yes. I don't like all this cold weather.